Sometimes you find yourself doing that, but that's what we do. And so we thank the Lord for each one of you. It's good to see you here. It's always a blessing to me. I mentioned that the other day when I see everybody coming into the house of God. It's a disappointment when you see those who don't. It's even more of a disappointment when you find out some of the reasons, but we just want to keep praying, keep believing. God's word is still just as true. It'll always be true. And that's what we live by. I was reminded just a little while ago of the story of the man, and I've rehearsed it many times, the story Brother Brown told about the guy that was dying in Africa and had the dream of his boss wanting to cut down a tree, get back down to camp, and just to, you know, make it a short story, he rolled the tree down into the river and jumped on the tree and let the tree take him down to camp. Instead of him trying to take the tree to camp, the tree took him to camp, floating on the water. And I'll tell you, saints, that's exactly the way it is. We don't have the strength in ourselves to make God's promise come to pass, but he does, and he makes it come to pass. And all we have to do is just jump on that, jump on top of that, and let him do the work and rejoice in it. And so that's what we want to do is just get into the word this morning And you pray for me that I can share with you what the Lord has put on my heart this morning. We'll go to Zechariah chapter 12. And I'll apologize now for extra reading. But I think it's important to read the whole thing. Zechariah chapter 12. getting it off the board sometimes is more easier to read, bigger letters. It says, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundations of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. In that day will I make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheath. And they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. And in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And in that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadad-Ramon in the valley of Megiddo. And the land shall mourn every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, their wives apart, their family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the families of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart. Amen. And the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. Amen. Let's bow our hearts to him. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your blessings this morning. Thank you for this gathering and for your word, Lord. We bow our hearts to you this morning. We just want to ask God that you would come and open up the words of eternal life to us this morning. That you would just allow us, Lord, just to minister what you put on our hearts. You'd let us just get out, Lord, where it's deep enough to swim this morning, and cause our hearts to be lifted up in your presence, Lord, because we know in your presence, Lord, we live. We thank you, Lord. We just ask, God, that you would find liberty among your people this morning. We ask, God, that you would allow us to put everything out of our minds that would hinder, and let our minds be stayed upon you, that we might be kept in perfect peace. Lord, as we go through this service this morning, open your word to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Also, at some point, I think we'll read in Zechariah chapter 14. You love the Lord this morning.
Amen.
He's been good to us. Amen.
Amen.
I am among the most blessed people of the earth. I don't mind saying that. I may not be a millionaire, may not have a lot of this world's goods, but I have enough wit about me to know that the Lord has done great things for me and has done great things in my life, and I know he's done the same for you. And so the redeemed of the Lord will always say so.
Amen.
And so we always want to give him glory and honor him in everything and figure out every way that we can to honor him. This morning I want to talk about Israel and the bride. and the kind of a little bit of the parallels that come with that. And so just some things that the Lord brought to my attention a couple of days ago. And I think I heard Perry Green say one time, he said, we listen, and Brother Daniel might agree with this, but he said, as ministers, we listen to the thoughts that he gives us. And that's his leading. And I told my wife, I said, I told her last night, I said, it seems to me that no matter where I go, what I do, what I focus my attention on, God turns around and uses that to open up scriptures to me, and I'm talking about daily life, open up scriptures and open up things that are pertinent to the very hour that we see ourselves in. It's almost as though God he's in a mode, and it is, it's true. He's in a mode where everything about his word is becoming pertinent to us, and everything around us can be found. Everything that's going on, we find it in the word, and we find ourselves in the word. And so we're glad for that. Because as I've said before, when you look down through history and you see God saying that he was going to do all these things, and you see him coming and visiting each generation and performing that which he said he would do, and you know, according to that plan of redemption, it comes through time that the next step says, by revelation, it says that he should pay us a visit. And when you look and see that he's doing exactly what he said he would do, I mean, it takes eyes of faith to see that, obviously. It takes a revelation to see that, obviously. But when you see that pathway and you know it's your hour of visitation, saints, we need to receive it as that. Amen. It is our hour of visitation, as Brother Daniel alluded to this morning. We are the revival.
Right.
Listen, if we're not, this world's not going to have it. See? And so we are in revival, and we are the revival because of what God has done. And so this morning I just want to talk about Israel and the church and the parallels between them. And, the message has always been clear to us from the get-go, all the time I ever remember. The message has always been very open and clear to us about the parallels and the types and the shadows with Israel and the bride and how they run in parallel. And so we read here in Zechariah chapter 12, and it also talks about it in great detail in chapter 14. We may get into it if the Lord allows and has us go that way. But Zechariah is actually telling of this time, that in the last days, just before the millennium sets in, that every nation in the world is going to gather against Jerusalem, gather against Israel, every nation. Now, I want you to kind of give you a foundation here to look at this. As Israel is God's natural people on the earth, a natural timepiece with a physical place, a physical promised land that they've been given, they type the bride of Christ, God's spiritual family, who's been given their promise. And as Israel has the land that was given to them, and that's a place where they can live, they can prosper, and everything they need to be a people and to thrive as a people is right there at that land because God has given it to them.
Right.
And so that's the same way with us. We are a people that God has promised. And you can see that down through the ages that Israel has gone through all kinds of things. They've been backslidden, all that. They've been scattered. So was the Christian church. They went through a dark ages. They got scattered, as it were. And there was a need for a restoration in the church.
Yeah.
There was a need for God to do something and bring everybody back to the promised word. Not off in some creed of man or dogma of man or something like that, but back to truth. There was a promise in the scriptures that he would bring us back to restoration, just like he promised he'd bring Israel back to their restoration, back to their homeland. And so those things run in parallel. And so, but the scriptures let us know, and we can see it in the news when we watch it, that Israel has returned to their homeland. Brother Bram said it's one of the greatest signs of our time, and it's true, that Israel would come back and be in their homeland. And yet we see here in the scriptures that God said that there's coming a time when every nation is going to gather against Israel, gather down there against Jerusalem, and be against it. And the scriptures also said that at that time when that happens, that God is going to come and he's going to intervene and he's going to fight for Israel as he did in the day of battle.
Right.
And so you'll read that between Zechariah 12 and Zechariah 14, and it's very clear there. And so he will come down, and he's absolutely going to intervene as he did in the day of battle. And so my wife and I were talking about last night, you know, in the Six-Day War, and I think there were six nations that come against Israel at one time. One time, all at once, six different ones attacked them, and Israel whipped them. And there's the testimonies of intervention, of supernatural things. And I'm not saying that was this, but that was a precursor of this.
Yeah.
See? But you find out the scriptures, it's very clear that Israel is going to be compassed with armies and all the nations. The scripture says every nation. There won't be one that's not there. Every nation is going to be in coalition against them to surround them and to bring them into compliance with what the rest of the world wants, which is for them to give up their land, to give up their promise. So their very reason for existing in the very place that God has given them and all the promises that make them a people and prosper as the people of God is at jeopardy. The rest of the world wants them to give it up. And I will tell you that it's exactly the same way with the bride of Christ. Because Israel is a nation, and all other nations want to come against her, Israel. And yet you see the bride of Christ is a spiritual people, and all the other religious systems in the world wants to take away from you your promised word. That's exactly what they want to do. And as we move into this, I just want to mention that Jerusalem is the city of peace. Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, it comes down. That's you. It's a type of you. And so Jerusalem, Salem, Melchizedek, priest of the Most High God, king of Salem, Jerusalem is what he was. So you see, he's all in there. He's the king of Jerusalem. And so it's a city of peace. And so the world wants to come in there and take peace from Israel. They want to come in there and tell Israel, you can't have these promises. You can't prosper. You can't have a place to call your own. We want to give it to somebody else. Because Satan wants to be a squatter. He wants to sit on your promises. He wants to keep you from inhabiting them. As long as he's sitting there, you can't have it.
Right.
As long as he's sitting there telling you can't be healed, you can't be healed if you believe that. See?
Right.
So he wants to squat on that promise and hold that from you. So the scripture said that every nation was going to gather against Israel, and then God would come down and he would actually fight for Jerusalem, fight for Israel. And so as that begins to happen and we see it, you see the scene of it unfolding and it's moving in that direction in the natural, we also see that right now in the bride message, the spirits of opposition are moving in very closely and bringing on great attack to try and take our promises from us. To try and get us to compromise in what we believe.
Right.
Where they have a physical land, Israel does, we got promises in the Word, and where their enemies are saying, give up this piece of your land, give up this promise, and give up this other promise, that's what they're telling us. Give up what you believe.
Yeah.
Take this away, take serpent seed doctrine away, Godhead away, water baptism, no eternal hell, and all the truths, the mystery truths that God has given. Just give this up and it'll be peaceful. You just give it up and then we can dwell together in peace.
Mm-hmm.
So they say.
Right.
But it don't work that way because the devil's behind it.
Right.
And he wants all of your promises.
Right.
And that's what he's after. And so you find out here, and I'll just, some of this I'll paraphrase, but God gathers the nations there to Israel, to Jerusalem. He gathers them there to judge them. This is a place where God is going to judge the entire world. Because listen, where does judgment first start? At the house of God. Right? It starts right over there at Jerusalem. That's why that little old piece of land that ain't much bigger than Rhode Island or something. I don't know how big it is, but it's not very big at all. Just 10 or 12, 15 miles across maybe in some places. But it's very small. An airplane can fly across it in 3 minutes, and it takes 6 hours around that to go across the United States. But an airplane can cross it in about 3 minutes. There ain't much there. as far as all the rest of the world, you know, that's the way it is. The world's got all these things they can live by. They can live this way, live that way. But God just has these promises right here that if we'll stay right here with these promises, we will prosper and be a people that cannot be moved. Amen. And Satan is after that. And so he gathers the world there to judge them there at Jerusalem. And we know, we call it the Battle of Armageddon and that sort of thing. And how all the nations come there and he destroys them and judges them. And we find out that in the message, the Trinity Spirit and the Spirit of rock and roll are some of the things, are the things that take them there. Take all the nations to Armageddon, takes them there. The influence of those things. And so if you go back and think about some of the things we've been talking about it recently and how those evil spirits and things come up out of the bottomless pit, they went forth and they brought to us the modern day rock and roll. They brought to us the modern day woman's apparel. They brought to us so much of the things that basically everything in our world we have out there outside of the gospel is influenced by that. And remember that when those spirits came out, they were given a permission to go and to have influence upon everyone who didn't have the Holy Ghost. So the whole world is wrapped up, and the whole world, everybody that doesn't have the Holy Ghost is on board with this program. That's why all nations come together, and they're all going to come into an agreement to go against Israel. And all spirits, all religious spirits, Catholic Church, Baptist, Methodist, you name it, all those in some form or fashion, somehow, they're all going to come into an agreement to go against the bride. So says the scriptures. That's the way we see it. Brother Ram talks about it and calls it the squeeze. A squeeze coming upon us. There's facets of it everywhere going on all the time, as there's the facets of things going on all the time against Israel. But those spirits that come out of the bottomless pit and they have gotten on the people of the world, millions on top of millions of them, there was 200 million army. They've gotten on all the people. They caused the Holocaust. They caused all these things. And God's allowing it. It's actually a tool in his hand because he's going to bring them, as Brother Branham said, bring them right down there to the slaughter. Yeah. Because he gave them a chance to have the Holy Ghost. And Ezekiel said, go out and mark all those that sigh and cry, all those that have a burden, a sigh and cry against the sins done in the city, abominations done in the city, all the filthiness that's in the church, in the city. Right? And then all those were marked, and then everybody else was slain. Yep. And he gave the gift of Pentecostal outpouring, and they rejected it and denominated it and went off into something else. And so all that's gone for to mark the whole bunch and take them to the slaughter. That's exactly the parallel Brother Brown gave. To take them to the slaughter. He calls it a slaughter in there, but what he's saying is to bring them down to judgment. Why? Because when God manifested the truth to them, when he manifested that which is right, they didn't have pleasure in that. So he allows them to believe a lie and be damned. So what the scripture said in 2 Thessalonians. That's what's happening. We are in that hour right now. It's been going on for 100 years now. Because we're past the outpouring of 1906 over 100 years now. And so all that's happening. And he's going to judge the nations there. Why? Because when they were given a chance, and the gospel's been preached into all the world, yeah. See, it couldn't say that every nation would come there and be judged like that if the gospel hadn't been preached in every nation. Right. You see what I'm saying? He can't judge them but what he warns them first. Right. And when they heard the gospel, they heard a gospel that said God was real and he had done this and done that, and then he'd raised up a prophet in our day when he had spent and sent all that out there, and they heard it and they could have been moved and converted by that. They didn't. And so then they resisted the Spirit of God, and another spirit comes upon them, and then that spirit leads them under a Trinity belief, under false doctrine, shimmying and bebopping to rock and roll, and they're all having a revival. Yeah. And it takes them right down there, and in their mind they think they're right. And in their mind they think they do God's service while they're putting people to death. Mm-hmm. Scripture said that's the way it would be, and it's been that way through history. Right. It's So those devils can't repent from that because that's what they are. So that's what they'll do today. They're going to come right down there to attack and surround Jerusalem with their idea of how things should be. And God's going to come down at that time and judge them. Every spirit will manifest what it is. Every spirit will manifest what it is. Right. In Luke chapter 21, let's pull that up. Jesus is speaking of this. And you know, he spake a parable to them and said, behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise, when you see these things to come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all be filled. Now remember, Brother Branham in the seals, and he's opening the seals, and he goes back and he shows us how that Jesus preached the seven seals when he was here. And he took us to Matthew chapter 24. And those of you who read your Bible and study it, you know that the story that Matthew tells in chapter 24, Mark tells it in Mark 13, and Luke tells it in Luke 21. And you can go to all three of them places and get this story. And so that's Jesus. So Brother Branham used Matthew 24, but I'm showing you Luke 21 because in Luke 21, he expresses there that when you see the fig tree and all the trees putting forth. And Brother Branham, when he's teaching the seven seals, he shows how that Jesus goes through and is actually, when they ask him, well, when will this happen? When will these things be? When will this, the sign of the end? And all of Jesus begins to minister out to them, and he answers them right in order. First seal, second seal, third seal, fourth seal, fifth seal, sixth seal. And when he got to the place, when Jesus got to the place talking about the events that tied and were the sixth seal, and now we're all sitting here going, okay, now the next thing is the seventh seal. And then it looks like he changes. And when he leaves from talking about the sixth seal, he goes to this. Behold, the parable of the fig tree. When you see that tree putting forth, when you see his branches becoming tender, when you see him and all the nations, all the trees, because Brother Rem said Israel is the fig tree. So when you see Israel coming forth, becoming a nation, and in other words, I'm going to say it this way, when you see Israel having revival, right? Because every nation, a nation is a conglomeration of people that have everything in common, they have they have customs in common, they speak a common language, a common currency, a common government, they want to dwell together, they're a people of a kind. You got another nation that they have their way of doing things, and so they are groups of people under a certain order. And Israel is a people that's under a certain order. And the Russians are a people under a certain order. And nations have spirits. Every nation has a spirit. And so Jesus, when it comes right down, and we're thinking, all right, he's going to tell us seventh seal. He's going to tell us coming of the Lord. He's going to tell us how we're going to be raptured. He's ready to tell us all this. And he jumps and he says, oh, behold the parable of the fig tree. And we think he jumped ship on us. He didn't jump ship. It was a mystery. It was kept silent. It's spoken in a mystery, so only the bride could get it. He didn't jump ship. And so he gave us a sign, and he said, this is how you know when you have arrived at the time of the seventh seal, I'm paraphrasing, when you see this happen. When you see Israel begin to put forth her branches, in other words, summer's at hand, this thing, this tree has a fruit within it, a seed within it, a gene within it, and its purpose is to put forth its limbs and to produce fruit and to come to revival, right, to be more of what it is. Right. When you see Israel become more of what it is, what God has called it to be, so when they have a revival, but when every other nation wants to come out like that too, and they want to express what they are and who they are, when you see all this happening, then you know your time is nigh. And this is not a fearful time for you and I. It shouldn't be if you're right with God. This is a time where it'd be just like he said, lift up your heads. Look up. Don't be looking down and worried about whatever. Look up. Look to the coming of the Lord. Your redemption draws nigh. Redemption only applies to somebody that was there to begin with.
Right.
The only ones that can go back there are the ones that were there to begin with. And when he speaks that, he's not speaking to somebody else. He's speaking to those who can be redeemed. And he says, look up, church. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh when you see this happen.
Right.
Regardless of the fact that all this is going on, it looks like trouble sometimes. It looks like things fixing to go out south on us, out the window. Even though it's all like that, and it looks like that everything's going wrong, it's right at that time we ought to be able to look, because of the promised word, we ought to be able to look here and say, praise God, it's just a moment longer, and my Redeemer will come for me. Because the scripture said, Israel will be compassed about with armies one more time. Their city will be, half of it will go into captivity. Their women will be ravished. Right? That's what it says, Zechariah 14. And that'll happen, but then he will come and fight for them like he did in the day of battle. Like when you go back in the Old Testament, you find out where God would come down and fight for Israel. And a lot of times it'd just be a massive confusion that would come up on the enemy and they'd kill one another.
Right.
This speaks of it again. Mass confusion that's going to come upon them. And so, however God wants to do it, it don't make any difference to me, but he's going to do it.
Right.
But what I want to leave with you this morning is how that's a parallel that as you see everything mounting up against Israel, rest assured they're mounting up against you with the bride of Christ.
Right.
There are things out there circulating that we've yet to hear that's got you targeted. And they're coming after you, see? So all that's going to gather up to try what? To try and take the promise away from you. And so when we look at that and we see, this is terrible. It shouldn't have gone this way. We have a message. We didn't, you know, at that time, lift up our heads. Look up, for our redemption draws nigh. Because God's going to fight for you and I too.
Amen.
Right? Because he said he would. And so... Brother Branham says, in his unfailing words of promise, but here's what Jesus was speaking of, in my most humble opinion, and that was, he said, this generation, in other words, the generation that saw the fig tree put forth his buds, you see, here he said, and when the fig trees begin, and it's tender, and putting forth its branches, you say, summer is nigh. Likewise, when you see all these things, know that the time, when you see all these things, these questions fulfilled, talking about the questions they ask him, you know, when shall we, these things, the sign of thy coming. So when you see these things fulfilled, the time is at the door. That generation that sees the fig tree, and the fig tree is always Israel. And when Israel goes back to her homeland and becomes a nation, that generation will not pass until these things be fulfilled. And so Jesus has come along and he's preaching the six seals, and when it comes time for the seventh, he throws that in there and says, this is how you're going to know you're living in that hour. When you see Israel, and Luke tells it, he said, when you see the fig tree and all the trees, because all of them are having their revival. So the spirit behind every nation, every spirit is going to manifest itself. Remember what I've said in that series I was doing about those spirits coming out of the pit?
Right.
They're not comfortable sitting in the corner. You know, everything, you have to understand that whatever spirit is on you, and listen, young people, whatever spirit you allow to come on you, it will grow and become stronger and stronger to be what it is. And if it's wrong, if it's disobedience, it's not satisfied in small disobedience. It wants to take you to major disobedience until you finally find yourself lifting up your eyes in hell. And so, whatever spirit is upon Israel will make them come forth. Whatever spirit is in Russia, they're going to come forth and manifest that. Because this is the hour that everything comes out of the closet. This is the hour that everything comes out of the closet. And it's an hour where, though all those nations are all different, underneath this moment, for somehow, some way, even though they're all different, and their customs and all that, somehow or another they come to agreement with each other, and then the agreement is to go against Israel. Right? So same way, all the denominations, all the religious systems, They won't necessarily, Brother Rem said the Catholics, Protestants won't become Catholics, but they'll be like a United Brotherhood. But they'll come into a common agreement somehow where they figure out how they can dwell together, and to them it looks like a great ecumenical victory. Brother Rem said, lead them to their slaughter. Because God's got a people that's a holy people. He didn't tell them to mix with everything else. You got it. And so there they are. And they're going to come to an agreement somehow to persecute you.
Yeah.
To persecute the message. Yeah. And so that's what happens. You pray for me so they can get through this. And so every nation, when you see the fig tree and you see every nation having their revival, in other words, every nation beginning to come out of the closet where they're beginning to manifest exactly what they want to do. Look at Russia.
Right.
Look what they did recently.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And nobody said nothing about it. Nations test the waters. Russia does it all the time. They fly planes acting like they're going to come in and strike us, and they turn around and come right back. It happens every day. Just about every day they do that. Nations with their militaries, why? They're testing to see the response times of the person they want to attack. And we know they're going to get us one day. Not, we won't be here, but you know America's going to get it. And so they do that all the time. And if they want to test and say, well, what if we want to go take an entire huge portion, say, Russia want to take Germany or something like that. Well, I don't know, that's a little bit too much to bite off. We might get in trouble. Well, let's just try a little bit here. Let's try this little place right here. Let's do that. Oh, that didn't do, no, the world didn't respond too bad to that. You see, that's the way it works. But the spirits behind these nations, they're wanting to come forth, and they're beginning to show what they are, and this is the age for everything to come out of the closet. And that's what's happening. In Zechariah 14, when he's talking about this, that's the scripture where when all these things begin to happen, it's at evening time, it's the evening light message. We're going to go ahead and go read there. We'll read verses 1 through 3 first. And I just want to show you this so that you can see. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and says, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravaged, and half of the city shall go into captivity. This is what's going to happen. And the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. So some of them will still remain there, but half the city will go into captivity. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Okay? Let's go down to verse 6 now. So I don't take up too much time. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be a day, and it shall be in that day that living water shall go forth out of Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea, and in summer and winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord and his name one. Just hold it right there. You can take it off. And so you see, Zechariah 14 is telling about the same time when all nations come against Israel. He comes down and he fights against them. And then you can go ahead and read the rest of it. He sets up the millennium. He sets up the millennium, and the remnant of those who are not destroyed, they have to come up every year to observe the Feast of Tabernacles. And if they don't come up and observe the Feast of Tabernacles, they don't get rain on their crops. That's what it tells it here. So it's taught, he moves about this armies coming against and all the nations coming against, God coming down and destroying them. And this is the chapter where it says, and here's the plague wherewith he'll destroy them. Their tongues will consume out of their mouth while they stand on their feet, and their eyes out of their sockets. So it sounds like a nuclear type situation. Whatever, whether it is or not, I don't know, but it's what it sounds like. But he's very clear here, once again, that all nations have to gather against Jerusalem, and he will judge them there. I think he, in one place he says he will plead with the people there.
And so he brings them down there to judgment. Why? Because they rejected the gospel, and the evil spirits that come upon them lead them down there to come against God's people, to come against the people who do hold the promises. They rejected it, but now they want to come against those who do hold it. See? And so that's what happens both in natural and in spiritual. They reject the truths. They don't let the truths become part of their daily life, and they happily live in that. They reject it, and so they go after the people who do have it. Israel's never said nobody else can be here. Other people can live there. They allow other people, but you see, they can't give up their promise themselves. And that's what the rest of the world, that's what different ones want them to do. And so that's what the battle's over. And so you see, this happens around the time of the evening light message. Because Zechariah, we just read it. This is when this all happens. So no doubt we are here at the time where this thing is taking place. Israel just wants to live in their promise. They just want to prosper there. They want to live in that. That's kind of like we are in the message. We enjoy the revelation of the Word. We enjoy knowing our Savior in that capacity that He has revealed Himself to us.
Right.
He is our everything. You know, Israel just wants to live in their promise. We just want our promise. And the land to Israel, to the nation, is like husband and wife. They're married. They're married to each other. They're husband and wife. And when a husband and wife, when they're apart from each other, they're, you know, a man and woman who are in love, they're not near as happy because they're not with their mate. But when they come together, they're happy. When they come together, things happen. When they come together, life comes forth. And things begin to prosper. And that's what happened. That's why Israel was a barren wasteland. But when the people finally came home, look at what it is now.
Yep.
From what it was 50 years ago, or 60 years ago, or however long it was. It's different now. Why? Because when those people came back to those promises came alive.
Yep.
And the unity of the two of them, as husband and wife, has produced this life, and this life can be a blessing to all the world. And everybody's tied up in that and should receive it as blessing from God, but the whole world wants to make it a burden.
Yeah.
And he said, everybody that wants to look at that and wants to make that a burden, you're going to be cut to pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let that be a burden to you. If anything, if God does anything in this earth, that can be a blessing to everyone else if they'll receive it as a blessing. And so what God wants to do in Israel, that right there could come out and be a blessing to everyone else. But if it's rejected, then it can become a curse to everyone else. And that's exactly what happens. So they're husband and wife, and it just prospers when they come together because that's the anointing that's upon them. That's a type of the Word and the Bride of Christ. Husband and wife. We come alive whenever we're in the midst of our husband. We prosper in the Word. It's everything it's all that we stand for. All our existence is right here in the truth that God has given us. It's our birthright. It's what we stand for. It's what we feed upon. It's what will keep us. And we're not giving it up.
Yeah.
Even though the world wants us to. So Israel just wants to live in their land, but Satan doesn't want them to have their promise. So he's telling them, Satan anoints all these other nations, all these other people to come and take that away from Israel. First of all, to try and deceive them and convince them to give it up willingly. But when they won't give it up willingly, then they resort to drastic measures. And so the same thing happens with us. And so Israel, sitting over there, Satan anoints all these others to come around there, and they start attacking them, trying to give them to give up their promises. And the thing about it is if Israel gave up portions of the land, it would make them even more vulnerable.
Right.
If you and I give up revelations, if we say, well, I'll lay this to the side, we become more vulnerable. We lay something else down, we become more vulnerable. Next thing you know, it's a lot easier for the enemy to get even. Why? Because Scripture interprets Scripture, and Scripture fortifies Scripture. Scriptures dovetail with Scriptures. Divine revelation from God fortifies you with other divine revelations and prepares you for more revelations to build on top of that.
Amen.
You take one of them away, you're probably five or six is hindered now because you can't receive it. If you don't have the understanding of Godhead, serpent seed, you know, all these things, you don't catch what's going on if these things aren't in your experience. See? And Satan wants us to give that up. He wants you to question one of those things, and if you question one, you question all. Because that's the way it works. It's like a little bitty snag in a garment. It looks like a little thing, but look where it goes when you tug on it. And so, Satan has all these people come in, and I'm not an expert on all the different ones, you know, but they come in and attack Israel, and they come against it, but they come to try and give up their land, and they actually wage attacks. Now, obviously, as we mentioned about in that series, Satan does send out his army. He doesn't send out an army just a couple of people. He sends out 200 million. And they don't go out here and just get some little place that's not strategically important. They get a place that'll give them advantage. And so these armies of Hamas and all the different ones that have attacked Israel over the years, they go and they want to capture portions of land that's going to give them advantage. Well, obviously, it gives advantage to Israel to have it. And Satan knows if he can take that away from them, then he can have greater advantage against Israel. So that's why these people are bent on trying to take those portions of land. Because ultimately, the whole thing, regardless of what all the political nonsense is, the bottom line is the spirit that they're anointed of wants to annihilate Israel. Exactly. And the spirits that's out there, religious-wise, they're bent on one thing, and that's to take the promise from you so that you can't prosper in God. That's all there is to it. And so they go in and they attack a certain portion. Now, here's where it gets tricky. Israel has a promised land. You have promised word. They go in and they pick a spot that they know is a great revelation, and they attack that. And they try to take it. They try to give it up first, but then they try to take it. So they'll come to you and tell you, you don't really believe God sent a prophet in this day, do you? You don't really believe that hell's not eternal, do you? See what I'm saying? But then we say, no, I believe it. So now their measures pick up, and they, instead of just trying to get Israel to give it up, they actually attack it, and it becomes a battle zone. It becomes a place where there's casualties. And they fight it. They take that, and the idea is for them to come in and take that physically by force, step into that area, and then use that as a pad to now strike further attacks against Israel, to advance further. It's like it is with any war, right? To move forward. They actually want to come and step right into that promise and stand there in that promised land that was to be a blessing to Israel, and now it becomes a curse under their presence. Under them walking around in the midst of what is a promise, handling that promise, that word for us. When they step into it, they begin to move and work. It's not for them. It's for Israel. But they step into it. They begin to move around in it and take it by force and shoot missiles at it and say it's not right and actually step right in there, eventually step in there and use the very same quotes to strike out further. Use the very same position and it don't even belong to them. So that's what they do. They take those portions. Well, you know what? Israel's got a right to defend themselves. You listen to the whole world. I watch some of the stuff in UN meetings. And there's pivotal speaking going on that people need to listen to with proof and evidence being brought forth about what's really going on over there. And these people are. I mean, that's the kind of spirit that you see there. They're like, they don't, you know, they're not interested in hearing that. Well, they applaud sometimes, I know that, but I'm just saying, it's not been given the preeminence that it should be and the attention it should be, because there's a spirit on the world to not accept Israel's stand, to not give to them what they need. And Israel's standing up there, Prime Minister Netanyahu's standing there talking until he's blue in the face. Because they're not hearing it. Sound familiar? I don't like saying that. But that's what's going on in this message. We're under the same pattern. We've got a promise. It's under attack. They use those resources the best. They just get right in it and turn around and use it to attack further, to take more promises, to take more things. And oh, don't forget, it's religious. It's a message jihad. Not in the message, but it's a jihad against the message. Holy war. That's what it is. It's all religious. It's all spiritual. And so, that's what's going on. And Israel has a right to defend themselves, and I have a right to defend this message. And I realize, you know, God don't want us just to sit down and just be, you know, well, whatever. You got to have backbone. You need to stand for truth, but you need to do it with integrity. And the time will come where you've done all you can, and then you just stand still and let God do the rest. And that's exactly what you have to do. But Israel has a right to defend themselves, and when you listen and watch the rest of the world, it's like they can bless Obama for doing certain things to stop other people from other, you know, militant groups from doing some things like that. But Israel's sitting here doing the same thing, trying to protect themselves, and they condemn them. Mm-hmm. And so, you see how this is working? It's like they're insane. You would think you could sit down and say, if a man's coming at me with a knife, don't I have a right to try and stop him from hurting me? And it's like, if I was telling that to you, you guys would go, no, you don't have a right to do that. That's what it is. They're telling Israel, no, you don't, you know, don't you do it. Let us take care of this. We'll talk our way through this. You can't reason with them.
Right.
See? And meanwhile, Israel's being attacked and more land being taken and there are more people dying. So the land belongs to Israel and the defense of the land belongs to them and God. They'll stand there and defend it, and at some point God will defend it. At some point, God will defend you. He's the one that knows when. But meanwhile, we stand and we defend what we know to be true. And the thing about it is it's not pretty. No battling like that, fighting over it's not pretty. There's casualties. There's things that happen. And so, Israel defends himself and the whole world gets mad about it. And you defend yourself in this message, and people's going to criticize you. They're going to accuse you of not having Christian nature or something because you defend it. But God will settle it one of these days. He'll make it clear at that point who you are. So they go in and they attack, and they set up forces and so forth, and they do all kinds of deception. They do all kinds of hideous, deceptive things, and then turn around and accuse Israel of doing the thing that they do. They'll turn around and take their children and their factories, and they go in and they put their missiles inside those homes in the heavily populated areas. They put their missiles right in there, and they shoot into Israel from those areas, and Israel's got to defend themselves. What are they going to do? Stand there and just let them come because it's coming from a baby food factory or something, or a school where kids play? They have to defend themselves. So they go back and they go back in there, and then look what happens. And this is not a political spiel I'm trying to give you. They shoot in there and destroy where the source of this is, and then they publish, oh, I see Israel willing, they went and killed children and all this kind of nonsense. It's tragedy. There's a tragedy that's the way. But listen, Israel's not the one that made it that way. They're just trying to defend themselves. And I don't care what people say. I'll defend this message. And if it hurts some feelings, fine. I can't help that. It's not, I'm not the one that caused it.
Right.
But I have to defend the truth that I stand for, that I believe that's my very existence. I can't walk away from it. So they'll say whatever they want to. So these people, they do that, and they send suicide bombers in. And you think, you know, suicide bombers, that's real extreme. But they take these substances that's man-engineered, man-made, put together to become explosives. They strap themselves with all these explosives, and then what do? They seek out highly populated social places with their bombs. I mean, if you have a suicide bomber and he goes into a place in Israel, let's say he goes into a mall and he blows the place up because there's all these people in there, and you step out and you see the mall's name is Facebook. They seek out heavily populated areas to do their explosion. And the explosion is made from a man-made concocted, put together something for the purpose of destruction. And these people have come to such a thinking in their mind that they don't mind dying themselves in the process, that they might destroy the enemy or get over there and destroy the enemy. They don't realize what they're facing. One split second after that bomb goes off, I guarantee you they're regretting it.
Yeah.
See? But you have people that arm themselves. And I'll say it this way. Words are like bombs. Because once words are spoken, you can't take them back.
Right.
And once a bomb is detonated, you can't stop that explosion. The damage is going to happen. And when a bomb goes for it, it does not discriminate. So lives are lost at the hand of a jihadist who thinks it's okay to go out and destroy the lives of people, trying to take their promise from them, just expose himself, kills himself, does suicide in that process. That's natural Israel. What about spiritual Israel? What about the bride? And people will concoct. I don't know how many teams they have or what kind of people, but they put all this stuff together and they come up with words and false teachings, false doctrine, false circumstances and things like that. Put it together, and they strap themselves with it, and they step into Facebook land,
right,
and they detonate it. Mm-hmm. And it's not discriminate. It does not discriminate. Right. Whoever's in that social media place is going to see it and be affected by it. Mm-hmm. And they just committed spiritual suicide. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's hard for me to say. But my job is to tell you the truth. And I'm showing you scripture, the parallel, exactly what happens. That's exactly what's going on. Israel, whenever they had to retaliate, they knew that these were populated areas, but they had to do something about it. They get on the news. They publish in Arabic on their stations. They do text messaging, phone calls. They drop flylets. They do everything in the world to try and tell their people, get out of there because we've got to strike that place. They did more than any other nation has ever done to minimize casualties. And then when they do strike, then the whole world turns it into a propaganda war and says, look how terrible Israel is. And if anybody's got any common sense and watches, you know that's not what Israel's all about. And if anybody would look and see what this message is about, they'd know that some of this nonsense that people are saying, it don't add up. It's not what we're about. But they don't care because they're jihadists. And they're killing themselves doing that. I wish I didn't have to say that, but it's the truth. The greatest message that's ever struck this earth, and it's flourishing now. And they're killing themselves over it. Why? Because God is visiting His people, bringing that revival, getting ready to move us into a millennium, and they want to stop it if they can. And that's what's happening. They destroy themselves in the process with their bombs and with their words. James 1:26, I don't know if she has it here, but it says, if any man among you seems to be, I find this interesting. Look what he says. He's talking about the tongue and not being able to control words.
Right.
And look what he ties it to. If any man among you seemeth to be religious,
right,
but he can't bridle his tongue, but deceiveth, what first? His own heart.
Amen.
Oh, he'll go out and deceive people too. But who's deceived first?
Right.
Deceiveth his own heart. You know what? This man's religion, this man's covering is in vain.
Right.
Religion is covering. To cover us of our sins. He's ever so zealous. They're ever so zealous for what they're standing for that it's all in vain.
Right?
And so, now I'm going to say this. And it's probably not a problem here with the people who are here today. But I can guarantee it's a problem for some who are no longer here today. Mm-hmm. Israel gave out all those flyers. They did everything they could to warn. Get away from there. Those people that lived in those territories, they could sit around and they could look and they could see. You know what? These people are wrong here. These Hamas, they're wrong. And here Israel's warning, you know, and I can see what's going on. That we got to get out of this place, get out of the way, because these guys are here and Israel's going to have to strike. And so Israel's giving out all this information. Stay away from these places. Stay away from these populated areas. Don't go to these big malls or these big Facebook places. Don't go do this. Don't do that. Get away from the hot spots. Stay away from them. And some of the Arab people protested, not Israel, but protested the Hamas. Some of those Arabic people began to protest what Hamas was doing, and they were martyred. They were killed because of it. They silenced the voice. Anybody that wants to stand up against what they're trying to do, they silence it, shut it down. So they can continue to stand there in some false thing and make it look like one thing when it's really something else. Hey, I've been in conversations with the people. And they walk up to you and say, you know, didn't Brother Brandon teach such and such? And you know, we are to have discernment of spirit.
Right.
And it, you know, it's just like any other conversation, but on this particular account, you catch it right quick. The moment they open their mouth, there's something here. Mm-hmm. They got something they're trying to snare you on. I have to deal with it a lot. And I'm not complaining. I realize as ministry, Brother Daniel will tell you, we have to. But, you know, that's just their tactics or whatever. But when Israel sent out all that information to get away from there, and some of the people protested and they got snuffed out, but there was a lot of people who just didn't obey it.
Right.
Hamas told the people, don't worry about it, ignore it. So here's people in areas that are hot spots, that they're in target. They're the source of attack, and attack's fixing to come back. And there's people here, and they've been told by Israel, get out. And Hamas said, don't worry about it. So here they are, they're halt between two opinions. Well, do I believe them? Do I believe Hamas? And they sit right there, and they either make a decision or sit there undecided, and then the attack's coming. Which Israel has a right to do. You better defend it. Right? And a lot of is what we would say innocent civilian. That's what they will say. But I'll tell you that when them people didn't heed those warnings, they put their blood on their own hands. When they were warned to stay away from those areas, when they were warned to get out of those areas, they're smart enough to know they needed to get out of there. And when they refuse to do that, their blood is on their own hands. And so I wish I could say, well, you know, but God means exactly what he says. And the scripture said every transgression received just recompense and reward under Moses. under Moses, where it was the blood of bulls and goats that couldn't really take away our sins. They could only cover it for a year. That's all it could do. And underneath the weakness of just blood and bulls and goats, that people who transgressed that law of Moses and the things that God brought, the scripture said, every one of those received just recompense. Then how much sore, how much greater is it to be over here now in the fullness of the ministry of God's presence among us, where there is a blood that totally takes away our sins and gives us a change of heart, cleanses us completely inside out, and puts our feet in the direction of Calvary, that Calvary would send us, and that's rejected. How much sore of a punishment is that going to be? When somebody has took the Spirit of grace and they counted it as an unclean thing, when the things that they once stood in and turned around and walked away from it, where does that leave them? Now, I'm not God. And I'm not saying that these people can't come back. But I know God is a God of mercy. God will bring people back. But listen, the attack that they're making is serious business. It's very serious business. Many of them have already committed spiritual suicide just by taking a stand that they have. They have deceived themselves, deceived their own hearts, and got to a place where they don't care. They don't even catch it. They don't even realize what they're doing. To a jihadist who comes suicide bomber, he's so demented in his thinking that he doesn't realize you're just pulling the trigger on sending yourself to hell. I'm being frank. But they don't realize that's what they're doing. And these people today do not realize that's what they're doing. They're pulling the trigger on something, and every transgression has to receive just recompense. God knows how to correct someone and bring them back. And I pray that that's exactly what He could do. I suppose that if there was somebody in the Palestinian Liberation Organization or whatever who was once at one time fought against Israel, if they threw up their hands and they came and surrendered to Israel and said, "I'll never do it again. I'll be on your side. I'll fight with you. I'll stand with you," I'm pretty sure Israel would let them do it. Because that's the way it should be. Contrary-wise, the other way, they get killed by the enemy. See? So, we have to accept the fact that we may know some who's not going to make it. And I'm not trying to make that, "Well, let's just don't worry about it." No, I'm not speaking of that. What I'm speaking of is your resolve. Your resolve to stay with God no matter what happens. And if somebody beside you right here in this room right now that you hold great confidence in decide to leave and not believe anymore, how's that going to affect you? Because your relationship is between you and God, and He's a revelation to you. And that's got to be Pat. That has to be, there has to be a connection there. And that connection, remember He said, gates of hell cannot prevail against it. You have to have that revelation, Him. You have to have met Him and realized He's my hope, He's my stay, He's my promise, and I'm not giving Him up. And I don't care if this one falls, that one falls, somebody else falls, I'm not giving it up. Staying with it. And so we find out that Israel has to stand alone in this day. It's engineered to come that way. That the only one that's going to stand with Israel is God. And it has to be that the only one that's going to stand with the bride is God. He lets it come to that. And then He comes on the scene. He's promised He would do it. So He said He would come to Israel, and He would fight before them like He did in the day of battle. You know, I don't know how God can change my body. I don't know. I don't need to know. I know He can heal. I know He can raise the dead. And He can do that. He can change my body into something supernatural. It's no big deal to me. I'm not going to try and wrap my head around it. I'm not going to try and figure out, well, you know, if this happens, maybe we're in jeopardy. No, it doesn't make no difference what happens out there in the world. Whatever is allowed to come, we're past. We're standing with Him, We're standing with His Word, regardless of what it looks like. And we've said that before. It may own difference if all the armies gathered around outside this building right here and put all their missiles pointing at us. See, we don't give up. We stay with God. Stay with the revelation. But let me use this as a chance to encourage you. Make sure it's a revelation. Make sure it's not just enthusiasm. Make sure it's not just that you're getting happy about the little group clique that you have. They're happy about it, so I'll be happy about it. You get on your knees and you find that revelation of Jesus Christ, because that's the only thing that will hold you. If you don't have it, you will go. You will go. You must have it. And this is the hour where playing games is over. We got to have it. If you know there's something that you're not lining up with in the Scriptures, if you know there's something you left undone, deal with it. Deal with it. Let me tell you something. Israel warned them. Get away from that stuff. Israel warned them. Take care of these things. Get out of harm's way. Your preachers tell you that. Get away from those things. Get out of harm's way. Get ready. Look up. Lift up your head. The hour is upon us. We've got to be ready. And you can say, go so far off into extreme predestination, well, it don't make no difference. I'll make it anyway. Not if you're slothful, you won't.
That's right.
You'll come up as a foolish virgin or something. And so we want to be very pat with God. Not walk away from His promise. It's kind of like comes to mind when Paul was in the ship and he said, don't leave the ship. Because ain't nobody going to perish as long as you stay in the ship. You jump ship, it's over with. And that's the way it is. We've come to that hour. And so, Israel is going to be surrounded by armies. They're going to be surrounded by everyone. And God's going to intervene. And we know that there's a squeeze coming to the bride. And God said He would take us in a rapture. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. Don't understand how you do it, but I believe it. Amen. I believe He'll do it. And so, I don't like having to make parallels like that. But I think I wouldn't be honest with myself or with God if I held back and tell you that's what's going on. The onslaught against the message. And so much of the world sits back and they just listen to propaganda and then they choose their side. They choose their side instead of knowing. Instead of knowing the truth and digging into the truth and spending hours. If anybody was seriously interested in wanting to know what's really going on over there, they do some research. They'd spend some time at it. But most people don't want to do that. So they just take what they hear and they just go with that. So that's one thing I can say to people in the onslaught against the message. You have a choice to make. You can either do the research yourself and find out if that's really what these people are all about, or what this message is all about, or what Brother Branham was all about. Find that out for yourself, or you can take somebody else's word for it. But be advised, it might turn you into a jihadist. It might turn you into a suicide bomber who tries to go out and you know, and so you understand. The parallel between Israel and the bride, they're right there. And if they've got attacks, we've got attacks. If they're asked to give up land, we're asked to give up promised land. If they have spiritual suicide people going in there and trying to, then we have it. And that's just how serious it is. And so, may the Lord bless you. Brother Tim will come up and we're going to bow our hearts here just for a moment. Those parallels run together. But God will not be mocked. Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts now. Ask, Lord, for Your guidance in the days ahead, Lord, as we see things unfolding and greater trials come. We're trusting You, Lord, that You will get us through them. Lord, as we don't have the ability in ourselves by no means, by no fashion whatsoever to bring these things to pass, but Lord, we have looked and seen that you are doing it. You have selected us as a people, Lord, to believe. And Lord, the world doesn't like it. Lord, we love your word. We love this end time message and we embrace it. We know it'll be tested. Well, we know we will be tested. We believe, for God, that you'll be faithful. You said you would. You have been. That you'll keep us, Lord. And in dark hours, Lord, that's when you always come on the scene. We trust that will be the case. No matter what lays before us, we ask, God, that you keep us in your word. Keep us satisfied, Lord, by the things that you've given us. Show us how to make a disconnect from this world and hide ourselves in you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, so I feel the pull. Aren't you glad that you do feel the pull? Because we wouldn't be in what we call the message if we didn't have that. Let's all stand and worship the Lord just for a moment. Spending the night if I can, so we don't come back wee hours of the morning or whatever. But if anybody would like to go, just let me know. We certainly think you would have a good time. Give you a little bit of fellowship among some of the saints from some of the other churches. And so if you'll just let me know,
You can go if you'd like to go. We certainly want to do what we can to make sure that you can get there. But anyway, so instead of us trying to have watch night service ourselves here, we're just going to do that. And I think that I already spoke to the brothers about it. They're, I think, pretty much interested in being involved if possible. We pray that Brother Daniel won't have to work New Year's Day, so that way he'd be able to go. Because, Brother, I don't want you on the road for 3 hours after midnight on New Year's morning. So we just want to pray that the Lord will allow that. The church has purchased some equipment. We were supposed to move some things out last week and couldn't, so we're going to try and do it today. I don't know what all that consists of, but the church is continuing to move forward in making decisions, preparing for our future as a church. So, you know, the things that if we find out that there's equipment and stuff that's missing today, we will be able to take care of that after today. And and also, you know, we're still looking. We're still interested in finding a place that we can call our home church, our home building, a place that we could know can be sanctified totally to the presence of the Lord, and that when you come and you open the doors, you don't want to wonder what you're going to find. A place that, you know, I don't say that with a joke. I say that with all seriousness, but that's exactly the way you feel sometimes. But so I just want you to know that we're still looking. We're not just resolved, even though the Lord has opened up the doorway for us here to have better conditions. I don't want you to think that we're not still interested in a more permanent solution. We are still looking for that and have some ideas. You know, there's a chance of we could buy and build, or we could find a place that the Lord would provide a place for us that, you know, ready that we could go into. So you be in prayer about that. And just believe that as long as we're here, we'll keep planting potatoes. Amen. And we'll keep doing our part. We'll stay at our post of duty until God comes and takes us. I can think no better place for the Lord to come and rapture us than to be standing at my post to do.
Amen.
You know, because there's a parable that talks about that, right? That a person begins to say, well, the Lord delays his coming, they begin to be slothful. We don't want to do that. We want to be serious and stay fervent in our responsibility. So just be in prayer about that. And today's Fellowship Sunday, of course you know that, but just pray that the Lord's blessings will be on this afternoon. Everything that's done, that it would glorify him and edify you. God bless you.